You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is David Bryan, and this is Curiosity Invited, a podcast inspired by endless curiosity. Tune in for an open-minded conversation about interesting and important things. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Curiosity Invited. I'm David Bryan, and today you'll be listening to or seeing a conversation I had yesterday with Lindsay Marie Greeley. Lindsay Marie is a fitness trainer, was a former bodybuilder, and sort of made the change to fitness, an approach towards fitness. We speak about that in the podcast, and she's quite fun to speak to, very knowledgeable, and with surprisingly an affinity for donuts, turns out, as she has very strong opinions about people committing to things, and especially when it has to do with to their well-being. I so enjoyed my conversation with her. I hope I speak with her again, and I hope you enjoy this conversation. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Curiosity Invited. I'm David Bryan. And today, what a treat I have. I am going to be speaking with Lindsay, that person who's on the screen, that's not me. That's Lindsay Marie. Do I call you Lindsay Marie or Lindsay Marie Greeley?
So you can call me Lindsay Marie or Lindsay, either is okay.
Okay, good. Hello. And you are, you were a bodybuilder.
Yes.
We'll talk about how you distinguish bodybuilding and fitness in a bit, but what got you there? Did you grow up in a bodybuilding family?
No, by no means, actually. So oddly enough, my bodybuilding career started at Planet Fitness. Now, if anyone knows anything about Planet Fitness, they're actually anti-bodybuilders, or they call them like lunks. So I used to be an athlete. I was a track athlete growing up, and then I did dance, cheerleading, gymnastics, all those sports. And I was working at a gym. I was 16. And I got approached by my first coach, and she was a bodybuilder, female bodybuilder. So it all started off as just, hey, I want to get in shape. And then she had presented to me, hey, you should compete. And I was like, respectfully, I don't know if I want to look like you. And she was like, no, they actually just came out with this category called bikini last year. So this was in 2009 is when the category had first come out. And then this was around like 2010. So that's when I did my first show. So it all started off just pretty naturally and organically.
And okay, so you just made mention of categories. So there are categories in female bodybuilding?
Yeah, so it starts off on the lower end. At the time, it was only bikini, figure, and women's bodybuilding. Those were the three categories that they had. And then later on, up to now, they added in another category called fitness as well. Now they've added in wellness, and then they've also added in women's physique. So now those are the divisions that they have.
And that's not true for men's bodybuilding, right? I mean, there were size, but was it also, there were other categories?
Yes, there are other categories. So men's also, they started off with two categories. So they started off with, back then it was the 202 division, and then they did open men's. So if you were falling into the 202 or open, they went by, on the amateur level, they go by your weight class and your height. On the pro level, once you're an open, that's it. That you're just going up against everybody.
I see. I get it.
But now they also have men's physique as well.
And what's the difference between, like, what if it's not about physique, what's it about?
So, yeah, right. So for the men's physique division, for the men, how it looks is like more of like that Abercrombie model look. That was really how it started, because, you know, some people don't necessarily want to look like an open bodybuilder. So they tried to make it like, oh, this is an obtainable physique. Then a couple years ago, they added in classic physique, which is supposed to resemble the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno look. So it's not as big as men's open bodybuilding, but it's significantly bigger than the men's physique category.
I see. So somebody, you know, if you could melt time, so somebody who was in Arnold's day would not be competing against some of the really massive guys now?
They would be in the classic division. And in the classic division for the men, they actually do classic posing, which is all like the Arnold days. So that's really like his category, basically. Because at some point, you know, these guys look great on the open scale, but it is kind of unrealistic for the average person nowadays to like open up a magazine and say like, oh, wow, that's who I really would like to look like.
I want to look like that. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the guys are, I mean, it's unbelievable how large they are.
They're massive. And when you see them up close and personal, you're kind of just like, whoa.
That's hot. It is. It's really, it's almost like, how do you get that big?
Yeah. So, well, let's be honest, no one's really doing it naturally when they're at that size. You know, you could only get so big naturally without having to take drugs when you're doing it.
And you're comfortable talking about that. Yeah, we spoke about that last time. So is that true for women competing as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Back when I started, it wasn't really that common, especially on the bikini level, because it was more so like an hourglass shape. It was very natural body looking. So it wasn't until the division started to progress where they wanted like a little bit more muscle here. So women do take drugs, especially on the bikini level now. I recently just went to the Olympia, which is basically the Super Bowl of bodybuilding, if you will. And these girls, most of them are on drugs. Now, people just hear steroids and they think it's like one little vial of something and you inject it and call it a day. But there's so many different things out there that if you take one thing, it could counteract with something else. One thing could do this and then another drug does this. So it's a very wide topic to talk about, but absolutely the females are definitely doing it.
And so I don't know the answer to this, which is probably why I'm asking you. Is it allowed in the rules, or is it just one of those things everybody knows and nobody talks about it?
It's one of those things that everybody knows and doesn't talk about. Now, there's different federation amongst the bodybuilding community. You have the INBF, which they're a drug testing league, so they don't allow steroids and they require all their athletes to get tested. In the division and the committee that I was involved in, which is the NPC and the IFBB, they don't do any drug testing, but it's just one of those like taboo, if you will, things where it's like, we don't know, but no one's actually going to be like, hey, what drugs are you on when they get that win? You know, it's just one of those things like, okay, it's apparent.
And is it your understanding, and I don't pretend to know anything about this, but is it your understanding that there are safe ways to do that, or?
Yeah, absolutely. The safest way is, you know, if this is a career path that you're going to choose, I tell people to choose wisely. Like, I don't believe that anybody on like the amateur level, or if they're not going to go to the Olympia, I don't think that they should be doing them, but that's to each his own. Like, I look back on my personal career and wish I had done things differently. But now, if you go to a doctor, and as long as you're getting your blood work taken and you're making sure that everything is all good, because don't forget, like, people forget your heart is a muscle, for an example. So when you're taking steroids, you're enlarging your heart. So there's been cases where guys that are around my age, if they were not younger, they had heart attacks at age 24, 25, 26. And it's because they're taking an immense amount of drugs. And, you know, if you're not taking a liver protector, you could do liver damage. So as long as you're going to the doctor, getting your blood work taken, you're being honest with them. And for most men, honestly, now doctors will give out testosterone, because if you just tell them like, hey, I'm a little older now, my testosterone's low, a doctor's just going to write that as a script and then you can get that legally. So it's not like as it was years ago.
Yeah. So when you think back to your time in bodybuilding, how did you do? First of all, how did you do? Were you successful?
Yeah, I would say I was definitely successful in my earlier bikini days when the look was much different. As I started to progress within the bikini category and as they started to want like a smaller petite look, I've never been a small petite girl. So naturally my body has always been like very comfortable at like the 140 to 160 range. So I would really have to suck down a lot in weight to compete with these girls. So as I got a little bit older, it became a little bit more challenging for me because my body just wasn't really meant to be there. And unfortunately at that time, there wasn't the wellness category that they have, which is like right smack in the middle between bikini and figure. So because I was so young, it was very hard for me to put on dense quality muscle when I was that age. So that's when I decided to cross over when I did figure to take drugs to kind of keep up with these girls. So I was successful in my bikini days, but not as successful as I would have liked to be.
And did you feel good when you were doing this? Like, what, or was it, I mean, so bodybuilding, at least as I understand it, right? And, you know, I have some experience back in the day, but you'd never know it now. but it's an intense pressure to look a particular way, right? I mean, you know, you want no body fat in. And well, you don't want no body fat anywhere, right? I mean, you just, and some people would just be so shredded, so defined that it was, I mean, it started to look, it just looked weird, right?
Yeah.
It looked like you were looking at some sort of other creature other than a person. And there was, you know, there was a lot of intense looking in the mirror and like, you know, how do I look and how does this look and what can I do about that? And how do I lose muscle? How do I lose fat there? And how do I like all that? And did you ever feel like you were sort of obsessed?
Oh, for sure. So I have never met a fitness person who has never suffered from any form of body dysmorphia. Like when you're looking in the mirror.
Wait, there's two negative. You've never met a fitness person
doesn't have body dysmorphia. Like
right.
We are all like a little mentally ill when it comes to that type of stuff, because what happens is, especially when you're in bodybuilding and when you're taking those drugs, like you just want a little bit more muscle, then you do a little bit more, so you do become addicted over time. And I think for myself, I tried to convince myself that I felt good. I was so young, and I even got into bodybuilding because I was, you know, bullied at school and I was made fun of, and I really got into it because I was like, okay, well, if I'm skinnier or if I'm in shape, people won't bully me and I'll look better and I'll get more like attention. So I was so young because I was 16, 17, 18 years old when I was at that peak of that career point. So I felt good on show day. And then like afterwards when I would do my photo shoots and stuff, because you know, you do become proud of yourself, but then you also get inside your head and you're like, but I could have been a little smaller, or, oh, I could have, you know, made my glutes bigger, my legs this, that. For me, when I was doing bikini back then, they wanted that small petite look. So I always wanted to get rid of my legs, always. And people were like, you're crazy. Do you know how many girls have to really struggle to build their quads and their hamstrings and their glutes like that? And you just want to get rid of them. So I think for me, it was kind of like I felt good, but reflecting back on it now and when I look at those pictures, like I think back to those moments of like just staring at myself and pinching my fat and telling myself like mentally, like, oh, you don't look good. You have to take more drugs to look better. So it's a toss up. Yes and no at the same time. When I reflect back, no, because it's not healthy.
And. Like, I know that, you know, from our previous conversation, you make a distinction now. And I don't know if that's just you personally or if it's a distinction that's in the larger world, but a distinction between being fit and being healthy, fit, healthy, and bodybuilding.
For sure.
And so could you talk a bit about that? And is that a widespread understanding within the fitness bodybuilding community, or are they like really two different communities, or are they at odds with, like, how does that work?
You know, you ever look at like the diagram where it has the two circles and then it has the circles combined halfway through? That's how I would equate it for sure. So there's definitely a big distinction between the bodybuilding industry and the fitness industry. Because, you know, you have all the fitness influencers and then you have all the bodybuilders. So how they kind of look at it is bodybuilding is super hardcore, like lift as much as you can, be this strong individual. And then fitness is more so someone who can go run and do all these like agile things with their body, sports and conditioning. So there is a big difference, especially with how they train themselves, how they compete. So it's different. Like a CrossFit athlete is much different than a bodybuilder. Right. When you go to the Olympia, you see a bunch of bodybuilders there. You don't see a whole lot of like fitness individuals there. And if you do, it's a smaller bit of a community. So I like to tell myself, like, I fall right smack in the middle of everything because I still love bodybuilding as a sport. I think that to take your physique to that level and then to pose and do all these different things, like, it's really incredible. But then I also respect the fitness community because these are people who could do crazy things with their bodies. Like, when you see especially people who are like a little bit older, like in their 40s and 50s, they have kids, but they're still ripped, but they're not as big, right? But they can go on a rower for multiple minutes at a time. They can go hit 1,000 meters and then go up and do all these things. I would say as of 2 years ago, I started competing in a fitness competition called High Rocks. And when I did my first one, it was grueling. And I said to myself, now this is fitness. This is like being physically fit where you could run 5 miles and not think twice about it. You can't ask a bodybuilder to go run 5 miles. They can't even go up a flight of stairs without being short out of breath. So although the two appear to look the same, physically they're not the same.
And well, it's hard to, you know, it's almost like there's two different definitions of health or fitness or well-being, but it's in terms of sort of long-term well-being for your body, mind, for you, for an individual, fitness is about that. At least it's been my impression, right? Fitness is about that. Whereas bodybuilding, it is not necessarily a healthy thing, right? I mean, you were just talking about the drug piece, but just the enormous, you know, the shifts of weight. So, you know, you bulk up and you just like, you know, put on a ton of weight and then you drop it as fast as you can because the competition's coming, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You don't want to have a nano bit of fat. And that's over time, that takes its toll.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely does. So just speaking from experience, I would say, you know, although I appeared to be healthy back then, I wasn't actually healthy. Like when I had to suck down from my last bikini show, I was doing 3 hours of cardio a day, 6 days a week. And then I was eating 6 meals a day, only eating tilapia and asparagus all day. So that isn't healthy because, like I said, I was going from, at that time, I was going from like 150 pounds, sucking down to 118 pounds in a 12-week period. And the things that I had to do were absolutely crazy. I can't even look back on those moments and even say to myself, like, that's something I would ever do again. I go to the gym in an hour and 20 minutes. And I do 20 minutes of walking on the treadmill. And then I do my weightlifting program. Sometimes it's even less. Sometimes I'm in and out of the gym in 45 minutes if I'm not doing my cardio that day. And I just feel better and I actually look better and it's a more sustainable life. Do I focus in on my nutrition? Absolutely, because I take that very serious. The things that you put into your body are the things that you're going to get out of your body. And especially, you know, living in the United States, let's be honest, we know that the food is not that good for you. A lot of it is processed, you know, the fast food and all this stuff. So it's a lot. So I really do take that stuff serious, but not as like as strict as I did back then. I could never see myself eating 4 ounces of grilled chicken and brown rice and then just this and then or just eat it. It was just too much of a structure. Now, like, I like to eat donuts. I like to go out.
You know what? Somebody told me about that. So what's the deal with the donuts?
So how I got like majority of my social media, I don't even like to use that word fame because it's not like I'm a celebrity, but no, how I got that was because when I would get done with my bodybuilding shows, I would inhale donuts. And people like found it funny because I could eat so many in a setting. Like my parents would come to all my shows with like a box of donuts for me, and I would just sit, like stuff my face until I couldn't breathe or take down another donut. So when I would post that type of content on social media, donut places and restaurants would reach out to me, and they would be like, hey, if we comp you a meal, can you come in and like record yourself at like the restaurant, speak about your experience? So I would, and because I was a big like foodie and breakfast person, because you go 8-12, sometimes like 10 to 15 weeks without any of that stuff. So it created on the back end, like an eating disorder almost, because then you go crazy the second that you would have it, right? So people just found it super entertaining. And let's be honest, I have a funny personality. So it was like first reaction, I can't really fix my face. I'm the epiphany of like, girl, fix your face. Like it's just everything is right there. So if I don't like something, everyone knows about it. So when I would be doing these donut reviews, people would be like, oh yeah, she doesn't like that. And it would like drive up my views and engagement and stuff. So it was, hey, listen, everyone likes a free meal. Let's be honest.
Do you still do donuts?
So I definitely do. I just haven't been doing like the donut content, but like I have a routine, like every, depending on what my workout structure is, it's either on a Friday or a Saturday. I definitely go and enjoy. There's a place I love here in downtown Los Angeles called Donut Friend. And I try and spin it in my brain like, oh, they're vegan donuts. So it's okay. You can eat three of them, girl. You're going to love it. You know, so I definitely love to eat my donuts. Like I'm a sweets person, but I'm also like a breakfast person. Like I love pancakes. I love, you know, waffles. I love French toast. Like that is definitely my jam for sure.
And you didn't eat like that when you were bodybuilding.
So only occasionally, like if you had a cheat meal, like, oh yeah, that was it. All bets were off. Like that was like my cheat meal. We're going for breakfast. I'm getting pancakes. And it would be funny because when I order at restaurants, people would be like, oh, is that for the table? And everyone would just like,
no, that's for her.
That's for her. Like, it's disgusting. Like, my friends who weren't involved in fitness at the time, when they would come out to eat with me, they'd be like, this is gross. Like, you have a problem. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Like, even now, like, people will be like, are you going to eat all that? And I'm like, and I'll lick my plate clean, too. Like, it's all good. I remember after I'll never forget one show I competed in Teaneck, New Jersey. After I did that show, the person I was dating at the time, we went to this pancake factory called Brownstone. And I literally ordered pancakes, French fries, and French toast just for myself because I couldn't like decide what I really wanted. And I got a milkshake on top of that. The waitress was like, okay, so that's it. And he goes, no, I didn't order. And
she goes, I didn't order yet.
She was like, that's just for you. And like, because I was so tiny at the time.
That's for tiny. Yeah, that's for tiny.
People just couldn't believe that like I would eat like that. Because they're like, there's no way that this girl is like 120 pounds and she could eat like that. Then she would come back and she'd be like, oh my God. And I'd be like, and can I get that milkshake? And she's like, what is wrong with this girl? Like, and then on top of that, like, you know, my parents would even make fun of me. They would be really concerned because how I would do it is if I competed on a Saturday, the next Sunday, before I would have to hop back on my plan on Monday, I would start off with brunch, go home, take like a nap because I'd be in a food coma. Then I would go do something for lunch, and that would be like a burger, grilled cheese, some sort of like sandwich type, right? Then I would go home, take another nap, and then I would go out for like a sushi, pizza, anything like that at night. And then I would get ice cream, and my parents would be like, this is not normal. Like there's no way. And then my stomach would get super distended. So then I would look like 8 months pregnant, but it was really just like, it's fine. Tomorrow I'm going to jump back on.
We'll be fine.
Right. Like this isn't good for you. And that's just one thing that I had to really get myself out of because I started so young. One, when you're that young, you're already broken and insecure. You're in high school. Let's face it. And it's much different now. Like back then, I didn't even have social media like that. So now it's way worse. But, you know, I was broken. I was insecure. So it would create this like eating disorder, right? Because I would eat like that. But then in my brain, I would be like, oh my God, I'm going to get fat and I don't want this. And I don't ever want to look like that ever again. So then I was bulimic at one point where I would eat like that. And then I would later go force myself to, you know, throw up and do all these crazy things, or I would negate the calories by going and doing 2.5 hours of cardio. And I would like punish myself. So especially if I had a cheat meal or something, like on a, in my plan, you were allowed to have a cheat meal like once every 2 weeks or something like that when I was getting ready for a show. Then I would just go punish myself with cardio. And I just remember like crying on Stairmasters, crying on the treadmill, wrapped up in saran wrap and all this ab cream and all these crazy things. And I look back on it when I would post these pictures like, look at me, I'm so shredded. Like, I look so good. And I'm like, you had a horrible mindset. You had a horrible relationship with food. So it creates this bad culture and this bad relationship over time with food. Because even now, sometimes I catch myself and I'm in that where I'm like, okay, you can't have that because if you have that, that's going to be X amount of calories. And then you have to burn this off in the gym to do that. It's not really worth it. So it does create something over time.
When you look back at all that time, right now, you're in the fitness world, which is very different.
Right.
But when you look back in that, do you have regrets about having gone through that? And regrets may be the wrong word, but like, you know, I mean, obviously you learn things from it and you move forward, but did it twist you in a way that you wish were untwisted from?
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's a 50-50 toss up for me because I don't really like to lead my life with regrets. I think that a lot of things are lessons that you could improve on. But if I had to say, like, if there was one thing, I wish I did it when I was a little bit older instead of being a senior in high school and doing that. But with that being said, being that young, it taught me an immense amount of discipline. It taught me a lot about myself. And then it essentially gave me the career that I have today. So I'm glad that it taught me to have drive. It taught me to have dedication, to stick to something, you know, because kids now they pick up something and then they're like, oh, I'm over it. And then they move on. Like, I didn't do that. So it created an immense amount of structure that I've carried out to this day for me. And I have an immense amount of discipline. So it taught me a lot, but I do wish that I was at least in my 20s back then, because it did create a lot of, I don't know if I want to use like mental health issues, but it definitely created a big block for me because I did develop body dysmorphia really young. I did develop an eating disorder. I did develop a poor relationship with my body and food because I would punish myself. And then I would speak highly negatively about myself after.
And do you feel like that's lingered? Like, do you still
for sure.
feel like you still, you know, You're not always like what you're seeing in the mirror?
Yeah, for sure. It's tough with body dysmorphia because, you know, people will think you're crazy, but it's like I'll look in the mirror. And even though I subconsciously know hundreds of thousands of women would even kill to have the body that I have, for me, it's not enough. Because I still look back to those bodybuilding days where I'm like, wow, I had an 18-inch waist. I had abs like out of nowhere. Like, I had cap shoulders and I had beautiful legs. So it's like sometimes you do get inside your head to this day, but it's not as severe as when I was that young. Because being that young, I just compared apples to oranges all the time. Then when Instagram came out, then it was like you were really going down a rabbit hole. So, and even now today, like, yeah, you catch yourself comparing yourself to girls that I used to compete with that still compete at that pro level, or I run into them and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, I wish I looked like that still. And I don't look like that anymore. Mm. But for the most part, I'm not regretful of those things because it doesn't happen as often as it would.
So do you think that social media had an effect on the industries of bodybuilding and fitness?
Absolutely. It's a blessing and it's a curse.
What? Say what?
It's a blessing and it's a curse at the same time.
Okay, tell me about each one.
So I would say it was like a blessing in the regard of, you know, social media is a great tool when you're actually in the fitness community and the bodybuilding world and you're passionate about these things and when you actually want to contribute to helping someone and change their life. I think that social media is a great tool to outreach a bunch of people that you would never have conversation with. It's also a great way to connect with people. Like, some of my closest friends, they don't live here in Los Angeles, but if it wasn't for social media, like, I wouldn't be able to stay in contact and connect with them. And I've met majority of my friends on the internet. Like, back when I was younger, especially when Instagram and social media came out and I got my following, it was a really great tool to outreach to other people within my community. Because when I was that young, people my age were going out and drinking and partying and clubbing and making poor decisions. So My friends couldn't really relate to me skipping out on the nightclub and wanting to go to the gym instead. But I had social media friends that I would stay in contact with, and they would be doing the exact same thing as me. So it creates a like-minded community. Now, the reason why I think it's a curse is because back then when Instagram first came out, it wasn't really like this. But now people edit their photos, they edit their videos, and they don't actually look like that. So now you're giving a false reality to somebody. And what I really don't appreciate about like the fitness culture community is a lot of these girls, they do edit their photos and they don't look like that in person. So now you get a girl who is investing her life savings into your online coaching program or your build a booty program in 30 days. And she has this high expectation that she's going to look like you, and she's never going to, because you doctored and edited all your photos and you just look ridiculous. Mm. Or the girls that, you know, get the surgery and the BBLs, and then they try and spin it like, oh, what? My BBLs, the Brazilian butt lifts.
Oh, Brazilian butt lifts.
Yeah. All those cosmetic surgeries. Like,
oh, wow.
They lie about it. And then they create these programs and say, oh, if you join my 30-day body weight squat program, you're going to get glutes like me. And it's like, what? You want me to do body weight squats every day for 30 days and you actually think that my glutes are going to grow? But because these young girls are not knowledgeable on these things, they have absolutely no idea that that's not how you grow your glutes. But they spend hundreds of dollars in it. And then it's just like, you create this false reality, and now you've taken a girl who's probably already broken and insecure and who looks up to you. Now she's discouraged because she invested her money into this. Yeah. She doesn't look up to you, and now she looks the same. So now she's never going to go trust somebody who's like me, who's a professional and who has multiple certifications and who takes this serious. And I don't do fitness for the money. Of course, I like a paycheck, because someone's got to pay the bills. But I really do it because I remember being a broken, insecure girl. I remember how mean I was looking at myself in the mirror. I know that my fitness journey has ultimately saved my life on multiple occasions. And I have restarted that journey 1,500 times over. So
Say something about that. Say something about that. What do you mean you feel like it saved your life?
When you're young, like, and you get bullied in school and people tell you like, oh, you're ugly. I used to get called Butterface. I used to get called Big Bird, like all these crazy things. Like, it really develops subconsciously. Like, you feel that way about yourself because you're young, you're 17, 18 years old. Then when social media comes out and you compare yourself to other people that don't look like that, it creates this like, this warped thing in your head that you actually believe those things about yourself. You start to believe I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm never going to be good enough for somebody. And, you know, it creates this poor relationship with yourself. So I feel like with fitness, I was be able to become physically strong in the gym. So it was kind of just like, oh, well, I can't get bullied if I'm strong, you know, or if I look good, then I won't get made fun of and someone will tell me I'm fat. People will be attracted to me. So I also feel like with mental health, fitness has become a tool where instead of turning to drinking and doing drugs, I went to the gym. So if I was going through something, that I would just pick up and just go to the gym and take it out on there. And then, you know, working out releases endorphins, and then I would walk out of the gym and I would feel better. When I was really depressed and have had really low moments of my life or like suicidal thoughts, like, I would just go to the gym instead. So I feel like it really saved me. And instead of making poor decisions growing up, like most people do, I really just chose a healthier path than what most people do.
So there's a couple of questions floating around right now, but what do you think people's misconceptions are about women bodybuilders?
I mean, honestly, they take it to a whole other extreme. They think like something's wrong with us. They think that, you know, we want to be men, and that's really not it at all whatsoever. I've never stepped inside of a gym saying like, oh, I want to be as big as a dude. For me, it was always multiple different things. Like, you know, especially in today's society, you really have to worry about these things. I want to be strong. So if, God forbid, I was ever in a situation where I found myself where a male had to be more dominant, if I was, you know, God forbid, I could fight them off, you know, or even me taking up boxing for several years within myself, I have good self-defense skills. So I can get myself out of a lot of situations. And unfortunately, that's just the way that today in society is. So also too, for me, it's a mental thing, being strong. I'm not weak. A lot of people view women as these weak, fragile things, and that's just really not it. And when you're strong, the misconception is that you need to be this big, bulky bodybuilder, but that's not it. I know girls who are 120 pounds and they can lift more than guys do. So for me, it was always just like me against myself versus like me against other people. So I think that's really the misconception.
And I don't know if you're willing to talk about this, but so are men, have you found that men are more attracted to you now that you are, when you were either a bodybuilder or now that you're fit? Or are men sort of put off because they're intimidated by, well, that person could never be attracted to me because, you know, she looks so good and I'm just a regular person?
So that's a good question. It's a 50-50. So I think it was more of an intimidation factor when I did figure, because I was big. Like, I was 150 pounds just of solid lean muscle, and I was bigger than most guys, honestly.
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
5'4", and you were 100 and what?
50 pounds, and I was like at like maybe 12, 13, 14% body fat. Definitely under 20% body fat. So I was lean and very muscular, and I was able to bang out pull-ups like it was nobody's business. I was able to squat 225. I was deadlifting 310 pounds. So that extreme. And when I was getting bigger and bigger, it definitely became like an intimidation factor where men were like, I'm not really attracted to that. That's a little too much for me. Now that I'm in like my fitness phase, I have a very feminine physique. I have a very appealing physique. So I would say men are definitely more attracted to me at this rate than I was when I was fat. But after I got out of bodybuilding, I kind of let myself go for a while and men didn't really like that look. And then now it's more of an attraction because it's like, oh, wow. But it's 50-50. Some men are creepy about it and they find it like, they say like the most outrageous things on the internet. But I find most men appreciate somebody who could go to the gym and put in hard work. It says a lot about yourself. I don't care what anybody says. When somebody looks at a fitness body, you can automatically tell the difference and think like, wow, that girl actually works hard. She has work ethic. She has dedication. She knows how to put the time where it has to go versus a girl that just goes and gets some surgery. That's just lazy to me. That's just, you have no dedication, you have no drive, and you're willing to put yourself at risk to look good for other people. It's not even for yourself.
On the one hand, you strive to feel good about yourself, how you look, how you feel. And then on the other, it's, I know we spoke about, you know, sort of that sort of body positive attitudes in the world, and people should feel good about who they are, and it, you know, it is sometimes, probably get all kinds of shit for saying this, but it's sometimes it valorizes people for being willing to put it all out there, even though they are, well, I don't know if they're healthy or not healthy. I don't know what their heart rate is. I don't know all that stuff. But they don't, they feel like, it looks to me like they're carrying all sorts of excess weight that over time is not good for your spine. It's not good for your heart. It's not good. I mean, you know, so how does that, how does that feel to you? How does that, how do you think about all that? And how does that sort of, how has that affected, if it has, the fitness world?
So I personally love talking about this topic because I don't care. Like, I don't care if people try and cancel me because they love to cancel the truth. People live in a delusional aspect when it comes to body positivity. And that's just my personal opinion. And most of the fitness community, and the bodybuilding community, definitely more than the fitness community feels this way too. Because when there's a difference between feeling good about who you are as a person and like your morals, your character, those are the things that are very important. Like, yes, I believe that you should be nice to yourself, but you also need to hold yourself accountable. And I get tired of like the body positivity movement of what it's turned into, because now it's just like, oh, I could be out of shape and I could be this, and as long as big is beautiful, and like I could, no, like it's not. Like if you're unhealthy, and I mean like you cannot run, you have high cholesterol, you have diabetes, like those things are important, heart disease, high cholesterol, like people don't think about those things. And I do. And when you see somebody who, you know, eats all this crap of like, you know, they go to McDonald's, they eat out to dinner all the time, they eat Oreos and they eat all this junk food, and like they do these mukbangs and stuff like that. Like prime example, Lizzo. Now I need to make a disclosure. Her now is very different than the person 2 years ago of what she portrayed with that body positivity movement. I never was a Lizzo fan back then, because she was basically saying like she did these mukbangs where you eat as much food as possible, and then she's sitting there like food falling out of her mouth, and she's like, but big is beautiful and just love yourself and the body that you're in. Well, let's fast forward now 2 years later, and now she's in the gym, and now she's taking care of herself, and now she's doing all these things. That to me is body positivity, taking yourself from an unhealthy culture and now performing and knowing like, okay, maybe I'm not the skinniest girl in the world, but I'm putting in that hard work and I'm going to do something about it. That's body positivity to me. Someone who accepts the accountability of, hey, I'm here and I'm unhealthy and I'm not fit, but I'm taking care of myself. I'm changing my nutrition habits and I'm going to the gym. I've hired a personal trainer. Now she's looking great. She just hired a friend of mine and he's putting in the work with her. And now her mindset's different. Now she's, you know, trying to be more socially aware of the body positivity and saying like, hey, look, I'm a bigger girl, but I'm taking care of myself. So I think that those people live in a delusional aspect of their life. I can't say it enough. I do. And like, listen, I have friends who are plus size models who go to the gym, they take care of themselves, but they have a background of like diseases that they can't help, or, you know, they have messed up their metabolism, or they have high thyroid issues or anything like that. Like, I respect those girls because they still get up and go to the gym. They still eat healthy. They still take care of themselves. Sometimes you just can't help genetics, and sometimes you can't help things that are out of your control. But I just don't respect a woman that's going to sit there on the internet and complain and then like try and spin it to this unhealthy and then tell people like it's okay to be like this. No, it's not okay. It's absolutely not okay to be like that.
Yeah, I think you're animated about that.
I can't, because it's just like when people say to me like, oh, you fat shame these people, it's like, no, I'm trying to help these people to see reality. Like, you got to take care of yourself, because you get one life and you get one body. And a lot of people can't say the same thing. Like, a lot of people have, you know, cancer and all these different things that they can't help, but they wish that they could. And then you just get these people out here that don't care about themselves. And I can tell that they don't care. They don't make any healthy decisions. They've never had a vegetable a day in their life. Like, what?
Yeah, but why would they say you were fat shaming them just because you're pointing out that they're living an unhealthy lifestyle?
I'm realistic, and I'm just not going to go with the BS, because everybody gets a choice. Like, again, I will never shame a girl who's on the bigger side, but who goes to the gym, who takes care of herself. Again, there's factors in there that we might not know about. She might have a thyroid issue. She might have poor genetics or something like that. And it's just not something that is plausible for her.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. It's skewed for me because I grew up in a fat family. Right. You know, everybody in my family, including me, was fat, and it took work. And it's interesting. I was wondering about it. It's like, where'd you get this discipline? Do you think you learned it, or because you had coaches or people, you know, sort of supporting you in that community, or were you always disciplined?
No, you learn it. I was never disciplined. I was one of those kids that just like went with the flow and just did these things. Like my parents definitely like had my dad is like the ultimate discipline, especially when it comes to business. My mom too, but my dad was really like the strict one on life. My dad always said like, I need you to be street smart versus book smart. So you need to have dedication and drive. That's the only way that you're going to be successful in life is when you pick something, you're going to do it and you're going to stick with it. So my dad definitely taught me that, but you have the choice because you're either going to be a product of your own environment or you're going to make that mental switch to say like, hey, these are the things and the aspects that I want to do in life. So I believe that there's two types of people. There's followers and then there's leaders in life. So if you're going to lead yourself into that direction, you develop discipline, you develop hard work ethic and these things. Like some people, they just will never develop that. They'll just follow and they'll just go about life.
So I'm looking at the time and I want, I try to keep them under an hour. So what else do you think we should speak about that we haven't spoken about that has to do with your fitness, your career, is your career? I mean, are you at it all day long? You give yourself a break?
Yeah, no, I don't. So I'm the head trainer.
That's not healthy.
Currently, I'm a head trainer of a gym called F45, and I also do and have my own business. I do online coaching. So I coach people from all over the world to stick with fitness. So I think like the biggest topic that I tell people is everyone's got to start somewhere, and fitness is not as hard as what people make it out to be. As long as you take care of yourself and you understand the aspect of it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. People need to get out of the, oh, I need to lose 20 pounds because it's my birthday. I need to do this because it's my cousin's brother's sister's wedding. It's like, just take care of yourself and understand that you get one body and you get one life and you can't take that for granted. Again, I'm not saying you need to go be a bodybuilder, but you need to take care of yourself and understand that there's so many different things. Like, you know, I look at someone like my dad, who suffered from a major heart attack last year and now has 9 stents put into his heart. And these are things that people don't think about because they only think like, I'm sick, versus like actually putting in the work and taking care of yourself. So something that I really love to advocate for is just getting started, but hold yourself accountable. Know that, hey, these are my weaknesses that I would ultimately love to learn and put them into my strengths. And that's what I do at my online coaching. It's so much more than just me handing you a piece of paper and saying, here, go for it. It's me having these long talks with my clients and saying like, hey, how did we get here? How did we develop this? What happened to you? What are the things? And then I get them outside of themselves, especially with women. Like, I don't want to say women have it harder because I'm not a feminist. But I do think that women, you know, they get more pressure put on them with their body. They get judged more than men do. Because men will be like, oh, I don't like you because you're not thin, or you're not like this, or da 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 da, or you need to go lose weight. So I think it creates a poor structure for women. So I like to get them out of that head and be like, hey, look, you need to take care of yourself for you. You need to go to the gym and be strong. You don't want to develop osteoporosis. You don't want to be on a walker. You don't want to be taking 100,000 pills at one point in your life. You want to be able to have children and have a successful childbirth. You want to be able to chase after your children. You don't want to be huffing and puffing in the pumpkin patch. Right. You know, so I really try and develop a more character when it comes to fitness, like make this a part of your lifestyle.
How often do you go to the gym these days? Well, you work there, so it doesn't matter.
I work there, but, you know, again, I go to the gym for my mental state. So I definitely go to the gym. My training program is four or five days a week, but on average about 4 days a week.
And work hard.
Yeah, always work hard. Because again, it's for myself. Like I really, there's no better feeling than like putting your body through hell and then coming out and being like, oh, damn, I'm glad I made it out alive. Like I feel good afterwards, you know. Or sometimes for me, I predominantly, like my training partner is a guy. So for me, I love to have a little fun with him. Be like, yeah, you see me lift those 60 pounds on my shoulder press? Like, come on. Oh, you're lifting below me. Like, so for me, sometimes it could be like an ego thing and be like, yeah, I got this. Or like when I compete in those competitions, like I feel fulfilled afterwards. Like, I'm just like, damn, I really just did that. I really did something that most people wouldn't do because they're just scrolling on TikTok these days. And like, I'm at it.
Cool. And how much time do you spend on social media Well, you use social media to promote your business, yeah?
Yeah, I use social media now as more of like a business tool. I don't really love the social media culture that's created. I used to be sucked in and drinking the Kool-Aid, especially when I first moved out to LA and this like LA influencer life and all that stuff. But now, not so much. I pre-make my post. I make sure when I go to the gym and I film, I'm coming out with a good message for people, or I'm just like filming something that's like positive. But I don't really like to overly edit my videos. So I like to just come out strong with a message. So I don't really spend a whole lot of time where I'm like, oh, wow, this person just got a dog and her kids are doing great. Like, I'll see them in person to hear about all those things.
Right. Well, Lindsay Marie, what a pleasure. Nice to meet you. Nice to actually meet you now that we've spoken.
Now that we've gotten to know
me. What will you regret not having said if we get off before you say it?
Nothing. I don't regret anything. I said what I said and I stand on business.
It's a wrong word to use for you. So what will you in an hour just go, oh, I should have spoken about
anything? Nothing. I think we hit like all like the good topics. The only thing I would say that we didn't really touch upon is like the false reality of some fitness things, like the Ozempic and like the cosmetic, like the surgeries and all that stuff. Like, cause that's, especially here in LA, like everyone seems like they're doing Ozempic, like as if they're doing drugs, which is crazy.
You know, it's like, that's all been lost on me. I don't know why, because, you know, I've never done those things that do whatever, you know, my weight loss, which was substantial, was a lot of pushing away from the table and not eating ice cream before. But is that really crazy widespread?
Yes.
In LA?
Absolutely. People, I walk past like med spas and they're like, Ozempic here. And I'm just like, wait a second, you have no nurse practitioner on staff. You have no doctor. You're just getting this to get this. And then people, like, I'll talk to some people I know like in the gym and they're like, oh yeah, I'm on Ozempic. That's why I lost all this weight. And I'm like, where did you get it? Oh, my girlfriend sells it. And I'm like, yeah, because my family also owns a wellness center in Long Island, New York. So we have doctors who do this and administrate medical weight loss, because people who are morbidly obese or who have all these diseases and sicknesses, they need that. So now if you're just getting someone like Khloe Kardashian, Kim Kardashian, all these losers, like just popping Ozempic and just being like, yeah, I work out and that's all. And I'm like, no, you don't, girl. Like, you have no life. Like, you're a celebrity. Like, you have all this money. Like, you're not relatable to these people. You're just lazy. That's really what it is. So it's like, out here in LA, everyone's doing it.
You're sitting, your family has a wellness center?
Yeah. My mom is a three-peat cancer survivor. And then my dad had a major heart attack last year. So they have a wellness center where they do a lot of medical weight loss. They do vitamin drips. They also do hormonal therapy. They help cancer patients with red light therapy, oxygen therapy. So they really love to help people just as much as I do.
Mom, That's great.
Yeah, cool. It's located in like the industrial parks of Long Island. It's called Revital Wave. It's been a blessing. It's definitely helped change my parents' life, especially with my mom. She loves that, because being a cancer survivor, that's not a joke.
No, that's no joke. That's no joke. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure. Pleasure getting to know you. And I'm really glad you were willing to spend some time and speak to me.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I'm really grateful that you wanted to have a conversation with me. I know, like, who really wants to talk to fitness people, you know?
I don't feel that way. I'm a fitness person, although, you know, it just fits in my life now. I mean, I've been going to the gym. I don't even know the last time I lived someplace and didn't belong to a gym.
Yeah. Sometimes with fitness people, we get a bad rep, but it's like, we just like to keep it realistic, because I work hard. I've had to work hard for this physique. Like, I didn't just wake up and have good genetics, you know? Like, I'm not Beyonce. You can't just wake up like this, you know? Like, you really got to put in the hard work. So sometimes people just like stay away from the fitness people because they're like, oh, wow, they're going to be a little too harsh. They're going to say outlandish things. And I'm just like, no, we're just realistic, and I don't want to hear your BS excuses. Like, it's all bullshit. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. I would rather someone look in your face and be like, I'm lazy. I don't want this as bad as you do. Versus, oh, I got kids, or oh, I got a job. It's like, okay, great. Everyone's got a job. And most people got kids. So they got 24 hours in a day and she's fit. I used to compete up against women who had, I'll never forget, there was a one girl, I always used to lose to her. This woman had 5 kids and she was double my age and she would still beat me. So it's like, I don't want to hear that.
All right. Hey, a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.